Well, we're going to go to Luke. Go to Luke 8. But see, this, what the Bible here is, it's a victory Bible, right? It's overcoming, right? Everything in here is victory. It's overcoming something, and it's overcoming by the power of God. You always got to remember that. It's the Word of God, is the will of God, and that's where the power of God lies, in the Word of God. And as we believe it, as we read in, there's a good line in this song here. It says, thank you for, all that's all good that's in his heart, if you only what? Believe. Just believe. That's it. Now we're going to look at, the topic of this teaching is going to be hold fast to the Word of God. But we're going to start in Luke 8, and I'm just going to reference John 10:10 because we all know it. Okay, Luke 8. So why do we need to hold fast? Why are we basically encouraged and instructed to hold fast to the Word of God? So look at Luke 8, sort of capitalizes this. Verse 11. Before we go there, you know, John 10:10 says, what? The thief cometh not but for what? To steal, kill, and destroy. The main thing he steals the Word of God, right? And we're going to see that. But Jesus came to give us life, and the life is in him and in his word. So that's why we need to hold fast to the Word of God, because there's someone trying to steal it from us. Okay. So look at Luke 8, it says, and verse 11. Now the parable was this: the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they which that hear, and then cometh who? The devil. And what? Takes away the word out of their heart. Because with your heart, you believe the word. Not out of their head, out of their heart. There's a difference here, right? Lest they should what? Believe and be saved. And look at the next verse. So how does he do this? And here it tells us how. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, they're not established in the word, which for a while believe, see, in a time of temptation, fall away. So they're tempted off of the Word of God. So that's one way how he does that, how he steals the Word. Look at verse 14. And they which fell by the thorns are they which they have heard. See, all these people heard. They go forth and are choked with what? The cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So he chokes the word out of your life by pressures, pleasures, you know, tribulation, all that stuff. But now look at verse 15. But they on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And that's what we're going to look at, holding fast to the Word of God. They keep it, and what happens? They bring forth fruit with patience. So there's a time element in there. So fruit is brought forth with patience. So remember that. But they keep the word, and that's what we're going to look at. What does it mean to hold fast to the Word of God? Let's look at Proverbs 4:13. So we see why. It's because the thief cometh not to steal, kill, destroy. He wants to steal the word, so we don't let him steal it. Now, how do we do that? Let's see. Proverbs 4:13. We're going to read the King James, and I have the Amplified Version. It has a clearer version of it here. But take fast hold, verse 13, take fast hold of instruction, and this is a command too, imperative tense. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. What? Take it, don't let her go, keep her, for she is thy life. Pretty clear, right? And the Amplified even amplifies it, right? So look, it says, take hold of instruction, actively seek it, grip it firmly, do not let it go, guard her, for she is thy life. So grip it firmly. Now, I wrote this down because I noticed, you ever notice a child, it could be a little child, a kid, and they may have a teddy bear or something, right? And it's theirs. You ever hear a child say, it's mine? Yeah. Mine, it's mine. Okay, so I wrote this. This is a little. So have you noticed that they have something that they don't want you to have that's there. They hold it tightly, right? So they say, no, it's mine. And you probably have to pry it out of their hands if you want to get it out of their hands. I can just picture the kid holding it like this, right? And they say, it's mine, because they say what's theirs, and they hold on to it, and you got to fight them for it, okay? We need the same tenacity as believers to hold on to the word like that. It's mine. It's our word. You ain't stealing it. You ain't taking it away. No one's taking it away. But we have to have that heart and tenacity. So that's what we're going to look at. That's what it means to hold fast to the word of God. No one's going to steal it from you. No one's going to take it from you. It's yours, right? And if you're going to do that, you're never going to quit or never going to give up. We don't have to turn there. For Galatians 6:9 says, let's not be weary in well doing in due season, for we shall what? Reap if we want. Faint not. Faint means to give up, relax, lie down, just like, oh, I guess nothing's going to work out here. Look at Proverbs 24, while we're in Proverbs, verse 16. That's the wrong one. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. Got the wrong page. Okay, says, for the just man falls seven times, and what does he do? He rise up again. That's the key. The rest, I don't care about. He rise up again. So he doesn't quit. He falls down, you get up. You keep going. You keep moving on. You don't quit. You don't give in. You don't give up. Look at John 8:31. All through the Word of God, it basically instructs us, keep going, don't quit, hold fast, and all those type of terminology. But John 8:31, I'm just going to hit a couple here. Mark, a lot of pages. We know John 8:31, but I want to read it. There we go. 8:31. 8:30 says, and he spake, Jesus spake words, these words, and many believed on him. Then Jesus said to them, those Jews which believed on him, if, conditional, you continue in my word, and you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word there is continue. The word continue is meno, means to stay in a given place or state. Really stay in a state of believing, trusting God. Stay in that state. First of all, in order to continue, you got to start, right? And then continuing, that's where the patience is going to kick in. You're going to see to continue in the word, especially when things aren't going too good in your life. Look at Proverbs 3:5. Sounds good on paper, right? It's putting it in action. This is the key, right? That's where we get the experiential knowledge, what this stuff means. Proverbs 3:5. So this is part of not quitting. That just hold fast to the word of God, of trusting God. So it says, trust in the Lord, verse 5 of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Now, there's a amplified here is clear on this. It says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Okay. Now you think about that. God is warning us. Don't be tempted to trust in your own understanding, right? It's broken up in two things. Do this and don't do this, right? Because leaning to your understanding is walking by sight, not by faith, right? And remember, understanding is in the five senses, which is talking about. Like you're trying to figure things out before you trust God. Like, how's he going to do this? How's it going to work out? Now, it doesn't say that. It says, trust me. Don't worry about the details. You'll find the details as you go along. Trust me. But don't try to figure it out in your mind if you're going through something. Why did this happen? How am I going to, all this stuff. Just trust me. And then it says, see, understanding is not required to believe God. You don't have to understand in order to believe. right? You look at Romans 10:9. How many understood how God was going to save us? Like you said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, mm-hmm. God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you have to figure out, well, okay, how God's going to do this before? I have to understand this before I believe it. Well, that's simple believing, right?
Yeah.
We started that way and we continue that way. That's why it's continuing in the Word. Look at Psalm 48, 46:10. Remember, believing is a choice. We either choose to believe or we choose not to believe. To be or not to be, right? 46:10. We've heard this one before, but it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. When we read this, you got to read this God talking to you. He's telling you, you be still, know who I am. Now, it means to be still means to leave off your own attempts and know that I am God. Don't try to figure stuff out and then try to trust me. Just quit it. Leave it. Okay, be still. Quit striving. Right, there was a couple of things here. The phrase urges us to stop striving, to cease our efforts, to rest in God's presence, so that you can have a quiet mind and heart and you make space for God to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Because if you're having all this mental traffic running around here, you ain't going to hear nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Or you ain't going to hear anything, right? And also, you see, it tells us be anxious for nothing, the same type of thing. No anxiety or care. Then it tells you what to do with those cares. You cast those cares. So that's part of being still. Get rid of them. Okay, God, and you trust him. He's going to take care of it. I don't know how, but you got this. And we need to strengthen ourselves daily and refresh our minds, because we can get talked out of these things by the five senses and the circumstances which we're confronted. So how do we strengthen ourselves in the Word? Look at Acts 20:32. And that's the key, is to keep strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Strengthen yourself in the Word. Okay, here it is. Everybody there? Okay, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up. See, the word of God is able to build you up and to keep you strong and establish you. Look at Psalm 112. We want to be strong, strengthened, built up, and established. Then we won't be like the guy that built his house on the sand and get wiped away when the storms come. Because they're going to come, right? They always come. As long as you don't self-inflict them, that's a good thing. But they're going to come anyway. I mean, there's going to be some storms. So look at this. This is how we end up when we're strong in the Lord. This gives you a picture of it. Psalm 112. Verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And look at verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. He won't be moved from trusting God. And the righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. See, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And the next verse, his heart is established. How is it fixed? How is it established? When you delight greatly in his commandments. When we delight in his commandments, we feed off them, right? We live off them. We don't just nibble here, you know. Like if you have a nice snack you like, you just eat it. You eat popcorn. You ever see people sitting in a movie? They had a big thing of popcorn, I guess. And we delight in God's word like that. We feed off the word. That gives us strength, right? Man does not live by bread alone, right? Every word, not some of them. So we need to be convinced that God will keep his word. That's a key to staying strong. Look at Psalm 89 while we're around there. Convinced. 89:34 of Psalm. It says, my covenant will I, what, not break, nor what, alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So God's word stands, right? The word of God lives and abides forever. And he doesn't alter it. So we trust him. In Hebrews, it says, it is impossible for God to lie. And then in Titus, it says, you know, God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He can't lie. It's impossible. So we have to be convinced that what he says is true. So if you look at Hebrews 11:1, it says, believing is like the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence they're yours before they're seen, right? Or the substance of things hoped for. Well, if you flip it around, it's believing is a deep conviction of the reality that it's impossible for God to lie, right? So basically saying it the other way. Mm-hmm. You're believing him that he doesn't lie. We just got to get in our mind, whatever he says is true. So Abraham was fully persuaded. Look at Romans 4:20. He's a great example of being fully convinced, fully persuaded. Same word as convinced is another translation of that. Romans 4:21 and 20. He staggered not, 4:20, at what? The promise. So the promise of God is the word of God that he spoke to him through unbelief, but was strong or strengthened in believing, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded, what? That God, what God promised, he was able to perform. He wasn't fully persuaded because he knew how God was going to fulfill the promise. Don't say that, right? He just, whatever he promised, he believed it. And the Amplified reads this way. He did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and empowered by faith or believing what God promised, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that God had the power to do what he promised. And that's why it says the word of God is quick and powerful, right? It has the power to achieve results. So now, we need to be convinced. We need to spend the time in the Word to get strong. And that's how we get convinced that God's, you know, going to keep his Word. And we need to be willing to wait on the Lord. Look at Hebrews 6. This is where that patience we learned earlier in Luke, they brought fruit, forth fruit with patience, right? Hebrews 6. Come on, let's go here. Six verse. I've got the right one here. 13. See, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. So he made a promise, and then he made an oath. Right? That's the swearing by himself. So see, after that he patiently what? Endured. He, Abraham, obtained the promise after he patiently endured, right? And then it goes on, it says, God, it's impossible for God to lie in verse 18 there. So he patiently endured after, then he obtained the promise. So I wrote a couple of things. Have you ever found yourself standing on the promises of God only to be left waiting and waiting and wondering, like when the answer is coming? Anybody ever been in that position? I think we have, right? And then some of these thoughts come to your mind. It's never going to happen. Maybe I'm not believing right. You waited too long, blah, 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 blah. So now, whenever we're going through the troubling or understanding, that's anything's troubling or understanding, don't rely on that. See, if your thoughts counter what God says, we need to cast them. God tells us what to do with them. God doesn't tell us in our mind, forget my word, right? We just saw it stand, hold fast, right? No, but we got to think like that because a lot of times we get sucked into this circumstance of like, well, I'm not believing. Well, you don't throw your believing away because that's what's going to get you to receiving. Right. So that's why he wants you to throw the believing away, right? That's why he wants to steal the word, right, from your heart. So if your thoughts counter what God says, then learn to cast them down. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. We know it, but it's good to look at this. It tells us what to do. And then we'll see how we cast them down. And then we can wrap this thing up. 10:5. It says, as casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Part of your leaning to your own understanding is what we need to cast down too. It's not just some evil thoughts coming in, you know, like you're no good or you're rotten, you know, trying to figure stuff out. You got to get rid of them, cast them down, right? And it takes practice doing that, but it takes us being in the Word to know what the Word says, to measure our thoughts against the Word, right? Then automatically your word's going to be like, wait a second, that's garbage. That's out of here, you know. I'm not even going there. You ever get a thought and you say, well, maybe this. Look what happened to Eve, right? Mm-hmm. She started with a thought and then a thought, another thought, boom, boom, boom. She led them to her own understanding and she got ripped off there. All right, we're in a home stretch here. So look at Hebrews. Now here's what we do. Here's how part of casting down, Hebrews 10, 23. And we have NIV versions too, but I'll read the regular one. 10:23, it says, let us hold fast. This is where we started in Proverbs, right? Mm-hmm. Hold fast, same thing. Grip it. Don't let it go. What? The profession, the word profession is confession, homo legeo. So it's saying the same thing what God says, basically saying the word, right? Of our believing. Without wavering, why? For he's faithful who promised. God's reminding us, hold fast without your confession. You speak the word. We hold on the word by speaking and believing it, right? And when we speak and believe God's word, we get the results of the word continuously. That's why it says continue in the word. We continuously do this stuff, not a five-minute prayer, nothing happens, and you're all freaked out. No, we used to be that way. I think we're more mature in that now. All right. So you say, when we speak something from our heart, when God speaks to your heart, when you're into the Word, he's either going to speak to you through the Word or bring something to your mind through your spirit. He gives you a word to stand on, like words to believe, right? And it's our responsibility to believe it, not to figure out how it's going to happen, but we're just to hold fast to the Word. Because a lot of times, especially in the medical, in the sickness field, you're something's wrong. How's this going to work out? God says, I'm by stripes, I'm healed. He sent his word and healed me. You know, all that stuff is true. Jesus bore our sins and sicknesses, carried disease by his stripes. We are healed. And it's true. We are. Then we try to figure out how. Then we get off the believing to the figuring out. And then we get all tied up in knots. And then you're worrying, like, oh, is this right? Now am I believing? No. Just believe and you receive, right? That's what it says. So the phrase, look at verse, chapter 10, verse 35. And it tells us what not to do again. Cast not away. Now he says we cast down imaginations, the wrong stuff. Don't cast away your confidence or your believing or your trust in God, which has what? There's a reward, a recompense, a reward. The word cast away means to throw something aside that's no longer valuable. So when you don't value the word of God, you put it in the trash, you throw it away. No. See, that's why we have to think that way. Are we valuing the word of God? Is it the word of God? You know, is the will of God for me? So it's something that, so he says, don't do that. That's exactly what the adversary tries to convince us to do with our believing, to cast it away. Okay. When you feel, when something feels, the pressure feels building and things are taking long to work out, right? Look at verse 26, though. It tells us what we need to do. So what not to do, and here's what we need to do, verse 36. For you have need of patience, right? Mm-hmm. That's firm, unmovable decision that this is the word of God. I'm not moving on my decision. I believe God. I don't care how it works out. Whatever is going to work out, but I just believe he's going to take care of this because God's for us. There's nobody could be against us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, you know, sent his word to heal us and deliver us. So I'm just going to believe that he's going to do this stuff. I don't know how, right? Don't get caught up on that. So it says, you need a patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, it tells us, here's the promise, he tells us. If you continue to believe, the answer will come, basically. And it tells us that in James 1, 3 says, count it all joy when you fall into many temptations, knowing the trying of your believing works patience, but then it says, let patience have her perfect work or come to full maturity and you'll be entire and perfect, wanting nothing. So there's a time element that we hang in there. We hang in there by continuing the word, speaking the word, knowing God's faithful, what he has promised, he's able and willing to perform. And we want to end up in Psalm 28:7. This is a good one. I always read this and remember. This sort of capsulizes everything. 28:7. Yeah, I'm probably wrong there. It's not 28:7. Because I know it's on this page. You know what I mean? You know where, you know what I mean? Maybe it's 29. There it is. 29. That was close. 29:26. How's that? I mean, that's really a good one. 29:26. Oh, Proverbs. That's. Glory to God. I'm reproved. 28:26. Is that right? No.
Are you sure you don't want 28:7? Because the Lord is my strength.
That's it. That's it. 28:7.
Okay.
But that's Psalm.
That's Psalm.
That's what I have written. Actually, that's what I have written down. That's what I have.
Where are we going?
Psalm. Well, I know it's on that left page right here. Watch. Boom, right there.
Right here.
Well, I'm looking. Look, I wrote it 28:7 here. I don't know where the hell I went. Okay. Peace. Here we are. Okay, verse 6. And then we'll go into 7. Blessed be the Lord because he has what? Heard the voice of my supplication. We know God hears us. Whatever we hear, we have because we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Right? Verse 7. The Lord is my strength and shield. And look, my heart trusts in him, and we know we are helped. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. So that's the key is we know we trust him and we're helped. And then we rejoice because we know that he's going to take care of the situation no matter what it is. Amen.